Come on. Yeah. The E. We got to give this one up to my dude Ecstasy. R.I.P. to Ecstasy from Houdini. R.I.P. to our brother Ecstasy from Houdini, a legend. Our brother transitioned today. Chubbing life, both half four letters of this two different things all together. Oh, we gotta give it up. We gotta celebrate our brother Ecstasy from Houdini. We gotta celebrate our brother. I'm gonna let this ride just for a second, just to celebrate our brother. Oh man. Shout out to Brooklyn. Shout out to Brooklyn. Shout out to hip hop. Shout out to Houdini. Oh man. Welcome guys to another episode of Tariq Radio. I'm your host. I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Thank you guys for tuning in. Oh man, we're gonna have a great broadcast tonight, but we just had to do a quick celebration of life for our brother from Houdini, Ecstasy, man. Legendary group. Legendary group. Before I get into that, today's show is brought to you by Mugs Amore. You can find the perfect coffee mug to fit your mood or the perfect stocking stuffer for your family and friends. Go to mugsamore.com, mugsamore.com, or find them on Instagram at mugs_amore, ladies and gentlemen. But again, we're giving a shout out, a celebration to our brother Ecstasy from the legendary group Houdini. Shout out to that brother. Anyway, guys, let everybody know that we're live right now. We're here. It's the regular time of the week. So let everybody know we're live right now. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. So don't move a muscle. We'll be right back, family.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Have you ever thought about getting into credit repairing? We have everything you need to start a life-changing credit repair business. Zero experience needed. This software makes it incredibly easy to launch, run, and grow your very own profitable credit repair business, or to add an entirely new revenue stream to your existing business. Run your own credit repair business effortlessly. 100% risk-free trial with no hassle, one-click cancellation at any time. Go to fixcreditsoftware.com. That's fixcreditsoftware.com.
Listen close, California family. Are you struggling with health insurance costs? Not sure if you can afford a decent health plan? Call Calendar Insurance Services at 866-200-2247. They are the experts when it comes to the health and the life insurance needs of Californians. So again, go to www.callenderinsurance.com or call 866-200-2247.
It's being described as a thrilling ride, filled with suspense, a book you won't put down, an absolute page turner. Buy the new book, War of the Heart, an Occam Jeffers novel, today at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Audiobook currently on sale at Google Play and Apple. Visit spiritof1811publishing.com for more details. Black first.
Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm, oil, mist, and detox. So So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out all at beardtreeoilandherbs.com. That's beardtreeoilandherbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever do that, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have y'all tuning back in. Shout out to the family. We're here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in. Ready to chop up game as we normally do. But again, just want to give another shout out to our brother Houdini, ecstasy of the group Houdini. Our brother passed. He was 56 years old today, man. Hip-hop legend. Houdini, man. Unsung heroes of the game, man. Those guys are legendary. Huge fans of Houdini. The group Houdini, they brought a grown and sexy vibe to hip hop that wasn't corny. They appealed to the ladies without being corny, and they still maintain the fellas. So they were able to delicately walk that line of being authentic and being true to the streets and having that sex symbol vibe. And they brought a lot of that grown folks energy to hip hop. They were the group that the streets would listen to and your parents could listen to. That was a very unique thing about them at that time. They bridged a major gap. They had a lot of great radio friendly records, and they still maintained their street cred, man. Very, very important group as far as hip-hop, man. And Ecstasy, he was a great performer. I would see them all the time when I was a kid. I was a huge fan of Houdini. I had all their records. Legends, 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 man. When our legends transition, man, you know, our hip-hop legends especially, you know, it's a funny feeling. But hey, the brother, we got to celebrate his life. We got to celebrate what the brother brought to the game. And much respect to them. Much respect to Jahlil, Dr. Ice. You know, Dr. Ice is Jahlil's brother, I think. And, you know, Dr. Ice was in the group UTFO. So they were all clicked in. That whole group out there, them clicked in with Full Force and all those Brooklyn cats. So shout out to them, man. Anyway, guys, a lot of stuff we're going to touch on today's broadcast. And happy early holidays to everybody. It's holiday season. So I know a lot of people are possibly off work. I know a lot of the children are out of school. A lot of people might be chilling with family right now. So shout out to you guys. But a lot of stuff we're going to touch on that's going on out here. First, there was another shooting out there in Columbus, Ohio. And from what I understand, the race soldier was a suspected white supremacist race soldier working for the police out there, shot an unarmed black man who had a phone in his hand. And they immediately came out kind of reprimanding this race soldier. I don't know what video they got of it. I heard, from what I understand, that the race soldier turned his camera off in order to do this damn execution. So, family, listen. Where are my Columbus people? Where are my Columbus people? Because, see, this is the thing we're going to have to get real about, guys. We're going to have to get real about some things. Because, see, they're doing a lot of verbal reprimanding of this guy, but I haven't heard anything about charges against this race soldier. I have not heard anything about any charges against this damn race soldier for turning off his camera and executing a black man who was unarmed. Family, we're going to have to come to the realization, and we're just going to have to own up and be honest about the fact that there are card-carrying white supremacists who, okay, somebody said the camera was already off. He turned it back on after the shooting. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Okay, this is what I'm saying. He had the camera off, so that means he knew what he was going to damn do. And then after the killing, he turned the camera back on. So yeah, stuff like that, and especially in Ohio, they know if they can get away with killing a black child, they can get away with killing anybody. When they got away with killing Tamir Rice, they knew it was open season. And listen, black folks, a lot of us don't want to admit that we are in a situation where we are unprotected by the state and that we are potentially sitting ducks out here. You know, a lot of us don't want to admit that. We get to talking silly stuff like, well, we need police reform. You cannot reform race soldiers, guys. We just got to get real with that. You just can't reform that. We're going to advocate for training, and we talk silly talk. People start talking silly out here. And the reason why people talk silly and people won't acknowledge that we are all in danger as black people, a few reasons. There was a couple of reasons why we don't do that. A lot of us don't do that. And when people like me do it, some Negroes get scared and start talking about Hotep this and Hotep that, and you need to stop race baiting, Tariq. A lot of folks don't want to admit that you are in a state of danger. There's a threat lurking over you the minute you walk out your house, and you don't even have to walk out your house. Number one, it's an ego thing. You don't want to admit that you are in a position that's systematically weak. We are in a systematically weak position where we are subjugated. Yeah, I know a lot of people are on some, I do what I want. Can't nobody do nothing to me. I's free. I'm no longer bound. Y'all want to play that game. You want to be oblivious to the danger, which is the worst thing you can do. The worst thing people can do is ignore danger. The worst thing you can do is ignore danger. So there's an ego thing. You don't want to admit that you are in a weakened position right now. You know, you kind of want to thump your chest and walk around, and then when the race soldiers pull up on you, you do all that yelling and screaming like you scaring somebody, and you're walking right into the trap. I see video after video, the race soldiers pull up to the hood and they know what's going to push niggas' buttons. They get out there doing shit to people and folks start yelling about my rights. I know my rights, goddammit. I know my rights. Family, we're an occupied force. We're occupied. That's the reality. Black people globally are occupied by the white supremacists. See, we need to start from there. We need to start from that reality. I just saw a video recently where a brother was eating lunch in a mall. The race soldier just walked up on him, the wrong dude, and just handcuffed him, talking about he looked like the suspect somebody reported who had a stolen credit card. And the brother was going all off and all this old stuff. I'm glad they didn't kill that brother, because what happens is when you doing all that, I didn't do it, and showing out, that's what they want you to do. They want you to get emotional. They want to push your buttons. See, we can't walk into those traps. We cannot walk into those damn emotional traps. They know how to get us all emotional and riled up. And the people who get emotional and riled up are the people who are oblivious, or who choose to be oblivious to the reality that we're living in. I don't want to hear all that old Hotep shit, man. I do what I want to damn do. I ain't about to watch all them Hidden Colors and shit. I do what I want to do anytime I want to do it. Y'all do all that. I'm about to go ahead and go to the mall, drink, get me a Gucci belt. Hey, why you handcuffing me? I know my rights. You know, family, stop getting emotional. When you encounter a race soldier, we got to start being strategic. You better understand that you are in an anti-black war. A lot of black folks don't want to acknowledge that. These people are waging a war against us every day. Every day is warfare time. We have to think strategically at all times. And see, that there's another reason why a lot of black people don't want to acknowledge the fact that they are card-carrying race soldiers who join the police force in order to murder us with impunity. That is their goal. It ain't about no damn reform. These people are recruited to murder us with impunity, and they have a system of prosecutors, judges, police unions, and white supremacist jurors who will protect them for killing us. They get on code and they are protected for killing us. That's the reality. And the thing is, if you acknowledge that, if you acknowledge that reality, that means that you're going to then have to do something about it. Even if you speak about it on a regular basis, I'm not talking about going to a rally here or there. See, when you acknowledge that there's a problem, a serious problem, you will dedicate every day to tackle that problem, to come up with solutions, and to focus on that problem. This is why I focus on white supremacy every single day. And I've done this to the point where people made me the go-to guy when it comes to getting at white supremacy. The problem is there should not be just a go-to guy for that. Everybody should be on what I'm on. Everybody should focus on white supremacy every day, like I do, to get on code and to focus on it. When you focus on anything, any problem you focus on, the solution is going to come to you eventually. See, a lot of things that are understood doesn't have to be explained. You don't have to spell everything out. Certain things you just need to understand. But if you look at a problem and focus on a problem long enough, the solution is just going to pop on up. And the white supremacists know that. This is why they're always trying to get our focus off them. They are constantly trying to tell us, well, it's the Democrats that's really, well, no, it's the Republicans, dude. It's the independents. No. It's the white Hispanics. No. It's the white Asians. See, they try to play three-card Monty with us all the time, where we're following the red card. When all of them are complicit, all of the people who are able to be white supremacists, they're complicit. Well, it's the police. See, this is why we're going to focus on police reform. See, that's a red herring. You understand the game that they play with us? So then we focus on the police. Let's defund the LAPD. Then what's going to happen? Then the LA Sheriff's Department is going to get funding. So we're focused on all of these things. The problem is white supremacy. So we got to stay focused on that. Because what happens, guys, when these folks see that they can get away with certain things, and you know, a lot of black folks just want to go along to get along, they'll do anything. Out there in DC right now, they just passed a law, an order, where they can give children vaccines in schools without the parents' permission, guys. This is in Washington, D.C. Is Washington, D.C. still majority black out there? Because, see, now that they got this going on in Washington, D.C., you know they're going to start spreading this to other majority black cities. In Washington, D.C., your child, your baby, in school, they can coax them into getting a damn vaccine with God knows what's in it. These vaccines can even kill these babies and do God knows what else. And the schools and the company that makes these vaccines cannot be sued. They have that in the laws where people cannot be sued because of the effects of vaccines. That was, I think that was implemented in the 1980s when they stopped people from suing the companies for making these vaccines that's doing all this damage to people. So now they can give your kid a vaccine and your kid can have all types of adverse reactions, and they're telling you, you can't do a damn thing about it because it's the law. They can poison your children in Washington, D.C. And you can't sue them. You understand? Let me tell you something. If they gave my kid a vaccine in school without my permission, damn a law. This is just me talking. I don't give a damn about no law. That would be handled. You understand? Certain laws you ain't really gotta follow, dude. You understand what I'm saying? Look at white people out here. White people, you tell them the law, you gotta wear a mask, and the law, you gotta do COVID protection. White people are like, fuck a damn law. Damn a mask. I'm white. I do what I want. And if you try to tell me no, well, I'm gonna show up with the militia. You dig? All laws are not good, family. Sometimes, just damn a law. You're going to have to do what you need to do to protect your family. You got a God-given right. When they start messing with your kids and doing things that could potentially harm your kids, well, damn it, I'm the law. I am the damn law. Now, we don't have to go along with everything just because they said it's the law. The laws are usually just to keep us black people in check. That's who the laws are for. Sometimes all bets are off. You got to do what you got to do. Sometimes all bets are off, and I'm hearing, and we got to be very careful about what we say about these vaccines. I know my brother Reza, he was on the Clubhouse app, and I think they locked his page or banned him because he was going in with too many truths about these vaccines. Family, these people are desperate at this point. These white supremacists. Yeah, all laws, dude. Laws are really made for us, and laws are not moral. There's a lot of things that are the law. Slavery was the law. You understand? They had Jim Crow laws where black people couldn't eat and drink from water fountains. Just because somebody made it a law, you don't have to go along with that. Certain things are, there's a time and place to turn up over some bullshit. We got to understand that part of the game. White people understand that very well. This is why they're turning up already over them being told what to do, them being told to wear masks. I've seen videos of white people just go on a Walmart and just lay in the middle of the floor and dare somebody to mess with them. And the store employees are pleading and begging with them, come on, sir, get up, sir. Nope, I'm going to lay here without my mask, dude. Come on, sir, can you please get up? There's the video now. White man just sitting on the floor. Now, when we show up somewhere without a mask, we get tackled, beat down. Out here in LA, a bunch of people went to a house party. It was a lot of black folks. They came in with damn near SWAT teams rounding everybody up. Now, there's a white boy named Kirk Cameron who's having these get-togethers all over southern Los Angeles. They haven't touched this dude. Deliberately defying the COVID mask orders, the social distancing laws, this white boy, and he's galvanizing people all over the place, gathering without their masks. The police, they haven't wrote nobody a ticket at any of these things. See, the laws are for us. Yeah? And racially enforcing laws are, that's immoral. And it only gets worse. We got to start nipping this stuff in the bud. But the thing is, that takes responsibility. A lot of folks, a lot of black folks enjoy being the children of society. See, when you stand up for yourself and you man up and you take responsibility and you say, I'm not going to take this type of behavior anymore, and I will step to you and put my life on the line. See, you have to have responsibility after that. A lot of black folks, I just like going to work. I work for white daddy and get my little weekends off to drink and smoke and sip a little lean and then go back on Monday. I ain't got to do all the thinking. White daddy does all the thinking for me. So we got to get off that. See, when you start thinking like a boss, see, that's why they don't want us thinking like that. That's one of the reasons why they didn't mind getting rid of all the black-owned businesses during the 1960s when they started to integrate our money. They learned, okay, look, we'll integrate, but the only thing we're going to integrate is their dollars into our pockets. So they're going to have to give up their businesses. And they can't own anything if they want to patronize ours. If y'all want to come into Woolworths and all of our stores and Macy's and Sears and all of our businesses, you can come, but you're going to have to give up yours. I sure will. See, that was the trade-off. They don't mind you doing that, because they know that was going to weaken you, and that's exactly what happened. See, but when black folks are talking about owning things, white supremacist society doesn't like that. And coons, by proxy, don't like it either. That's why, notice when people like me and others run businesses, there's always coons complaining about how much money we make. Notice that. Notice the coons who sit around complaining about how much legitimate money a black person is making. Any coon who does that is a traitor to black society. That's a traitor. And it's not about the money that the person is making. It's the fact that they're making money without white approval. That's the thing that chaps the ass of a coon. Because there's rappers and entertainers who work for major record labels who get money and trick it off and do the dumbest stuff imaginable with money. They do it online every day. They got stacks of money doing the dumbest shit you can think of, buying the goofiest things you can think of. And nobody really complains. You notice about that? Nobody really complains about what these Sambos in the industry do with their money. Nobody says anything. Why? Because they've been approved by white daddy. These are white daddy's niggas. So when a Sambo is running around here with a mouthful of gold and diamond teeth, throwing money all over the place, tricking it off in strip clubs, nobody says anything. When we do something independent of white mommy, white daddy, when we put together documentary films that's educating people, these same Negroes who sat up here and let the Cooney Coon rap stars trick off their money and do dumb shit, they turn to us talking about, well, damn, You making money off a documentary? That's pimping the community. That like pimping the community, making a documentary like that. Listen to that Sambo ass backwards mentality. Yeah, that's why they hated LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball was doing things independently. So they had to do little sucker things to get out our brother. But see, we got to understand the game out here. See, a lot of people out here act like hoes and not good hoes. And see, that's part of the theme we're bringing to today's broadcast, slithering to the grassroots. Now, as we know, Biden, thus those of us on the grassroots, we knew Biden wasn't going to do anything for black people. We knew Biden was bad news. We were trying to be strategic with our vote by holding our vote. Sometimes the most strategic thing you could do is stand still and not do anything at all. We were going to hold our vote. We weren't going to support Trump. We were not going to support Biden. We were going to let the Democratic Party crash and burn, as they should, because they've done nothing for us. Now, I've heard some coons say, well, we need to support the Democrats because the Democrats owe us. Yeah, the Democrats owe us. They owe us, though. Everybody owes us, not just the damn Democrats. Everybody benefited from the free labor of foundational black Americans. No. Everybody, the government as a whole, owes foundational black Americans. The entire government. We're not about to play ping pong with which one of them owe. All of them owe. And they know that. They know that. And the thing is, guys, you had a lot of these Democratic shills, these Negroes out here who were shaming black people, trying to get us to support the Democrats. All these boule ass-kissing sorority bootlicks, all of them were trying to shame black people, particularly black men. If y'all don't support Kamala Harris, y'all just hate the black woman. Man, y'all just trying to let Trump get in. That y'all like Trump because his white supremacist power. The black man want to be a white supremacist too. I mean, they were using all of these goofy shaming tactics, trying to get black people to support Biden and Kamami. Shaming tactics all over the place. So now that Biden has got an office, and we've heard the tapes of Biden talking crazy to Negroes, and I'm going to play a couple of more segments of the clip that some of the clips go over people's heads of that fake leaked Biden tape, because it probably wasn't leaked. Sounds like, you know, this was something that they put out there. But listen to some of the stuff that Biden was saying in this tape that a lot of folks, it kind of went over their heads. Now listen to this real quickly. It's not going to be long. Listen.
This country is doomed. It is doomed, not just because of African America.
Now, this country is doomed. Now, this is very interesting.
This country is doomed. It is doomed, not just because of African Americans, but because by 2040, this country is going to be minority white European. Hear me? Minority white European. And you guys are going to have to start working more with Hispanics.
Okay, now y'all heard that part, but just that the beginning part, this country is doomed because it's going to be minority white. Now, let that sink in for a minute, guys. He said this country is doomed because it's going to be minority white. This dude sounds like David Duke. That's David Duke talk. The country is going to be doomed because white people are going to be the minority? So we're doomed now? That's white nationalist talk. Not just because of black people, but this country is doomed. What? And he's sitting here talking to these Negroes, and they're sitting up here looking like goofy hoes. This dude sounds like Tom Metzger of the Skinheads. And there's another part of the clip where he, this is interesting too, where he told them the hell with y'all. This is another part of the clip. Hold on.
Well, I don't know if that counts. I'm not so sure. Well, if it doesn't count for y'all, well, the hell with y'all. But because it's real. It's real. Exactly. For 25 years as a United States senator.
Oh, let me play that part again. Hold on.
Well, I don't know if that counts. I'm not so sure. Well, if it doesn't count for y'all, well, the hell with y'all. But because it's real. It's real. Exactly. For 20.
Good Lord. This man's told them, well, if it doesn't count for y'all, the hell with y'all. This dude is talking to a group of black people like this. This dude is talking to a group of black people like a bunch of hoes. And family, a lot of these Boule Negroes, see, when Biden got in office, see, they thought if they went out here shaming black people, talking down to black people, promoting that gender divide between, or trying to, because we didn't fall for it, really. A lot of us really didn't fall for that. But a lot of the Boule bootlick class and the mammy class, they thought if they went out here and told the line and did some, tried to do some gender dividing, talking all of this black girl magic stuff and how black men ain't shit and all, they thought if they did enough of that, and Biden got in office, boy, there were going to be all types of jobs for them as individuals. They were going to sell everybody else out just so their asses could get them some job positions. Now that Biden and Kamami has got in office, they're not giving out those positions like those Negroes thought they were. So a lot of the bootlick class, they're out here complaining and whining. That one woman, Professor Crunk, this woman's whole timeline is her shitting on black men. This is a mammy feminist whose job is to just throw black men under the bus and whine and complain about black men all day. She was one of these chicks talking about black women should withhold sex from black men if we don't vote for Biden and all of this goofy stuff. And we posted her picture. And, you know, it speaks for itself. You just have to see for yourself. So now she put up a tweet yesterday talking about, well, it's not unreasonable for black women to want to keep our one seat in the U.S. Senate when we are the Democratic Party's most loyal constituency. Don't finger wag me about playing fair when white men are overrepresented in Congress. Stop. I've been hearing these Negroes, they've been complaining and whining nonstop now that these folks are appointing everybody except black folks in these positions. All of these important positions, they're putting all of these other folks in them. All of these jobs and positions these Sambos thought they were going to get, they're not getting them. The Black Lives Matter official organization, some of the head spokespersons for them, they're complaining about not getting their emails or their calls answered. They're all complaining now. They tried to shame Ice Cube. They tried to shame me and other people. And now that Biden has turned his wrinkled ass up to him and told them where to kiss, now everybody wants to cry foul. Now everybody's kind of slithering over back here to the grassroots now. Now they want to talk about white supremacy now. Now they're trying to slither their way over here among us. See, this is what we're going to see now. Now that they couldn't get up in the big house like they wanted to, now they're slithering back down here like, hey, big head. No, no, no. take your mammy ass back the other way. Don't slither over here to the grassroots now after we done sat up here and told you that the Democrats are just as bad, if not worse, as Trump. Biden, we've told you about Biden's track record with black people and Kamami. But no, y'all thought y'all were going to throw all of us under the bus because you don't like black people anyway. They get a bunch of Negroes who hate black society. They hate their own family. So we are an extension of their family and they hate us. So they were like, I'll be glad to throw them niggas under the bus. Just give me a position next to white daddy. The white daddy position didn't come through. Now they want to cry foul. Man, racism is crazy, ain't it? The Democrats be racist sometimes. Shut your ass up. Don't come around here after we done told you and you tried to shame us and you didn't get those positions. Just like Omarosa. Remember Omarosa was up there ass kissing with Trump? Oh, she was towing the line. Oh, Mr. Trump is so good and so great. After they threw her black ass out the White House, literally, they had to change the locks on her ass. They literally had to change the security codes for Omarosa's ass. She comes slithering back down to the black community like, hey, big head. Well, anyway, you know, I was really the spook who sat by the door. Yeah, I was acting like a coon and a mammy, but I was really getting intel. They try to play that game. No, y'all not going to play that game. We're not playing that game. So out here in California, Kamala's old position, they were talking about it might be a black woman who got it. They gave it to a white Latino. They gave that position to a white Latino out here in California. So now they're crying foul again. London Breed, that's the mayor of San Francisco. She was complaining. Let me play her. Where's her thing? This is London Breed. Hold on, complaining about the position being given to a white Latino and not a black woman. And she's trying to clean her little language up. Hold on.
This is a real, you know, blow to the African-American community, to African-American women, to women in general. And I think it's really challenging to put it in words, but it was definitely a surprise, and it's an unfortunate situation as we are trying to move this country forward and making sure that black lives truly matter and that African Americans have a seat at the table, especially African American women. After what was done in this race on a national level.
And she's still trying to gender war even with that. Well, African lives, African American lives matter, especially African American women. Okay, that gender warring thing don't mean nothing. And I want y'all to see what she did. See, they play that little, the black community and African-American women especially, and all women, because that's what the whole game is. See, that's a Democratic talking point. They start talking about black people's struggles, then black women, and then all women. You see how they do? I want y'all to see that pivot, the Democratic pivot. This is taught to them at the think tanks. The think tanks teach them how to do this little pivot right here.
You know, blow to the African-American community, to African-American women, to women in general.
And that's why we are right back where the hell we are now. Well, the African-American community and African-American women, you know, just women in general. No, we are not making ourselves comparable to these other groups. These dumb Negroes keep playing that game and they're putting us in the same position. They played this little goofy game right here and they lost. Y'all play the we all minorities, people of color game, and everybody's struggle is comparative, and y'all do that, and now they're just blatantly throwing black folks under the bus, and now y'all want to come back to the grassroots with your con game after it failed. We're not playing that game. Y'all acting like goofy hoes. A smart hoe knows how to get the money up front at least. A smart hoe knows how to get the paper up front at least. There's a show, there's a movie on Netflix. The Ma Rainey. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Y'all need to see that. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. With Viola Davis playing Ma Rainey. And for those who don't know, Ma Rainey is the mother of the blues. She was one of the first major blues singers in this country. And they had my brother Chadwick Boseman in it. He played Levy, the character of Levy. And this is a good movie to watch. And y'all got to understand, you got to watch this film. It's not a big action-packed film. And you got to kind of get your mind right for it. Because when I saw it, I'm thinking it's going to be like just a whole bunch of action or whatever. But basically, a lot of it took place in one area. So I said, wait, it must be based on a stage play. It kind of had a stage play vibe just by everything being in one central location. Then I did some research and I saw that there was a stage play and this was adapted from that. But as far as the dialogue and the acting, A1 superb. Superb, superb acting. Viola Davis is one of the greatest actresses out here in the game. And that's white or black. I'm talking about period. That sister is phenomenal. And what's interesting about these roles, and so Chadwick, he was phenomenal in this thing. Phenomenal. And Denzel Washington was one of the producers of it. So, you know, they had some real good people around this thing. And Denzel was like, look, we're going to have some shit where y'all going to watch some acting. Y'all about to watch motherfuckers act right now. This is something that they'll probably show in acting schools around the country. I mean, the acting was just superb. And what's interesting is that this is why it's important for foundational Black Americans to play historic characters based on foundational Black Americans in order to capture that spirit, in order to capture the energy, in order to capture the essence. You understand that it's very important because some of the little nuances, certain things, man, you just can't be taught in an acting class. Certain things, it has to come from your lineage, man. You gotta have that in you. You understand? And they were talking about some racism in the South, and it was heavy. It was a heavy piece, real good stuff. But there were some scenes in there, a lot of good game in there, where Viola's character was talking about the record labels, some white-owned record labels at Paramount. It was a white-owned record label, Paramount Records. You know, they were trying to get her to record this record. The whole movie is about them at a recording session. It was very hot. They were up there in Chicago. Ma Rainey just wanted to go in, record, get her money and bounce, and go back down to her tour in the South. But she was dropping some game about the white record execs. She was like, you know what? You know, I'm giving them a hard time, because she was kind of appearing to give them a hard time about, you know, I want a microphone, I want Coca-Cola, I want this, I want that. And she was basically explaining to one of the band members, like, hey, these white folks don't give a damn about me. Once they get my voice on that record, I'm just another whore that they'll dispose of. I'm a dog they'll throw away in the gutter. So I'm going to get what I need to get before they get what they need to get. I'm going to get some leverage. I'm going to get what I need to get. And I don't want to give too much of the plot away because I want y'all to see it. But there was one scene in there playing off that where the white execs were supposed to pay the band like $25 each. And $25 was pretty decent money back in those days. And they didn't want to pay him that. And then she told her manager, go back and talk to him. Go back and tell him. They're going to pay what they're supposed to pay. Tell him to pay exactly what he's supposed to pay. So then her white manager came out with the money. And the white manager was saying, yes, the executive, he apologizes for not, you know, there was a misunderstanding about y'all money. And Ma Rainey said, no, the misunderstanding was I didn't sign the damn release. And he just realized that. That was the misunderstanding. I didn't sign the release, and I knew, you know, they were going to try to pull something slick. So, yeah, that's what the misunderstanding was. So that type of stuff, real good game in that. Understanding that you need to have leverage. She wasn't cockeying and kikiing and skinning and grinning. She knew they really didn't like her. She knew that they were just trying to get some out of her. So she knew that she had to get what she needed to get out of it. See, I like little stuff like that with a lot of good game in it. Now, Ma Rainey, yeah, she was like bisexual in real life. So, you knew they had to kind of play that up a little bit. But, you know, other than that, there was some real good game in there. Other than that, real good game in there about how to get something up front. You got to be smart enough to get something up front before you lose your damn leverage. You got Negroes out here now who then went out here and voted for Biden and didn't even get a promise of nothing. You didn't get promised anything. Now, after this fool has gotten your vote, he has what he wants now. Y'all trying to sit up and tell him what he should do, and he's telling you to kiss his white ass. And now y'all want to complain with your dumb ass. A street hoe knows how to get some up front before you drop your ass. That's the basic law of hoeing. A hoe knows better than on the street knows better than to do that, to give it up without getting the money. Y'all gave up the vote without even getting a promise of anything. And you running around like idiots and morons now. Have y'all noticed a lot of the trolling has kind of slowed down? A lot of these Negroes who were trolling, telling us how we need to vote, and if we don't vote, y'all sound like Trump supporters and shit if y'all don't vote. All those trolls, where they at though? Where they at? Where are they? You understand? Where they at? See, we gotta let folks know what the business is gonna be. See, we sit up here trying to be polite. We sit up here trying to be sweet and let's just go along and to get along and we're all one big kumbaya family. No, we better get off that. We are a foundational Black Americans who's going to look out for foundational Black Americans. We ain't doing no minority struggle, minority coalition. Family, they've been sitting up here telling us how Black folks need to get this damn weird ass vaccine that don't nobody know what's in it. We Black folks need to get it. Black Americans need to get it. Just campaigning left and right. Black Americans need to get it. We got to get it to Black Americans. Black Americans got to get it. You need it. You need it, Black people. We might even offer you money, Black people. It's not like Tuskegee. We're not like that no more, Black folks. Come on. Look, we got a Black doctor, Kismikia. Now, she's a bedwinch, but don't worry about that. She used to be a bedwinch. She's not a bedwinch no more. You gotta get it, Negroes. So they want us to get this COVID vaccine, and they keep telling us we should get it because we're disproportionately affected. And guys, did y'all see the video? There's a sister who was in the hospital talking about how bad she was being mistreated by the white doctors, and the sister died a couple of days later. This is some serious stuff going on out here. So they're telling us how much and how badly we need this vaccine, but they just had a stimulus package. Family, they had a stimulus package for COVID, $900 billion. A stimulus package, a COVID relief stimulus package for $900 billion. Foundational Black Americans weren't in there nowhere. They did not mention Black Americans anywhere in that thing at all. But family, there was $500,000 to Israel. There's money for the Gulf of Mexico to count fish. I mean, they had some of the weirdest money allocations I've ever seen. Family, they had something in this stimulus package that's coming out of our tax dollars. They had something in this package that would give like $1 million or so to gender programs in Pakistan. I'm not even making that up. They're giving money to Israel, gender programs in Pakistan before we get what we're supposed to get. I'm trying to figure out, what does a transgender person in Pakistan have to do with my tax dollars? $1.3 billion to Egypt. I mean, this our money, this is our tax dollars. It's going all over the place except to us. We're going to have to stop being afraid to say, hey, if it ain't for us, we ain't rocking with it. We're going to have to be bold. Now, Trump is looking like he's about to veto that because they said there's a lot of, Trump said there was a lot of wasteful spending. If he vetoes it, that's great. I'm not for this thing whatsoever. And I think they were trying to give all every American $600. There should be money allocated specifically for foundational Black Americans. We got to stop being afraid to let people know that this is what we have to get. We're going to have to be bold about this. We're going to have to be bold about this and not be scared. And not only were they giving money for gender programs in Pakistan, it was some more money for women's programs and in these Middle Eastern countries. This is our tax dollars. Family, we got homeless Black people all up and down Los Angeles right now. This is the problem with us being on this kumbaya. We all the same. We just one big happy family. We got to get off that. That has been to our detriment. Nobody is going to reciprocate, family. We've been doing this goofy nonsense and nobody's going to reciprocate. Nobody's going to turn around and say, hey, let's do the same for you Negroes. No, it's going to be the opposite. And this is what we're seeing. And a lot of folks who look like us are going out of their way to undermine us as much as they can. Family, did y'all see the new trailer for the Coming to America Part 2? It's a very nostalgic thing. The Coming to America Part 2 is coming out. It's going to be on Amazon. Amazon acquired the movie. And the trailer went out and people were talking about the trailer. So there's a lot of foreign flag tethers who were upset with the trailer because there were some jokes in the trailer about Africans. And a lot of Negroes, some of the foreign flag tethers got mad at this. Let me play what some of the jokes are in this Coming to America trailer. Okay, so they got real butthurt over this. Hold on 1 second. Hold on.
Say it again.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Wait. Let me turn this down.
It is so good to see you.
Well, Abby, damn, look who done come up in here.
Hey, it's Kunta Kinte and Ebola.
Famine and blood diamonds.
Nelson Mandela and Winnie.
Those hungry babies with the flies on the face.
Hey, oh, that's too much now. You stepped over the line. Now, we won't be talking that kind of shit about the hungry babies. You're going to have to get out of my chair.
Politically incorrect.
So what you doing back here, Hotel Rwanda?
Okay, So those were the jokes. All right. So it was funny. It was funny. He called them Hotel Rwanda and Blood Diamond. It was funny. So that, oh boy, the foreign flag Negroes are like, oh, yeah, he called them Blood Diamond. He said, it's Kunta and Ebola. It's funny. So, Negroes up there. Oh, what is this? These are kata. Oh, now we're katas again. Now we're katas and all you Black Americans. Oh, y'all are hateful niggas. Oh, you hateful niggas. Oh, so they're mad. Oh, they're pissed off at this. This is I can't do it with all of these stereotypes. So now they're mad. First of all, in the movie, they talking about a fictional place of Zamunda. The shit don't really exist. It's a non-existent African country, okay? So Zamunda doesn't exist. there's no country called Zamunda. So you're mad at an imaginary country that don't exist. That's number one. Talking about the accents, these horrible African, these accents are horrible. These accents are horrible. Well, Zamunda doesn't exist. So they can have whatever accent they want to have. The country of Zamunda don't exist. And a lot of these dudes, man, a lot of these folks, they feel like they can sit up and call us all types of Akatas and all of these different names on a daily basis, but they're just above being roasted. They cannot be roasted. No, you're not above getting roasted. It's like, how dare you roast me? I come from a royal lineage. No, nigga. You over here now in Cleveland. You sold your bussy to get a green card, nigga. So sit down and get this roasting like everybody else. We ain't trying to hear all that dumb shit. You gonna get roasted if you do something goofy. You get roasted. Everybody gets roasted. None of y'all are above a roasting, nigga. None of you. You're not above getting roasted. Also, we got to understand this movie, Coming to America, the movie, even the old movie, the first one, it had stereotypes about everybody. Hell, even the barbers in there, that was a stereotype of old, loud, crazy-ass barbers. That was over the top. That was them clowning those old men who be in barbershops talking shit. It was an exaggeration. It was funny because we knew where it was coming. It was coming from a funny place. So that's a stereotype. There's a lot of stereotypes in there about foundational Black Americans. Hell, the Reverend that Arsenio played. The janky Reverend looking at women's asses and all that. Yeah, that was a stereotype. It was funny. It was over the top. It was funny. Even Soul Glow, that was clowning niggas with Jerry curls like me. I had a Jerry curl in the 80s, and the Soul Glow and the activator getting all over the place, that was clowning niggas with Jerry curls. Yeah, the stereotypes. They had stereotypical Jerry curls. It was over the top and funny. Everybody got it. So y'all niggas, you're not above getting that work. Yeah, you're not above getting it. Yeah, sexual chocolate. He's clowning singer. It was funny. But the thing is, a lot of these cats, I don't want to hear nothing about no stereotypes in this movie. I don't want to hear nothing about no damn stereotypes, because they're showing, even if it's a mythological African country, they're still showing luxurious African culture to a certain degree. Within the context of a film that is a comedy, it's a comedy film. Because my thing is this, I don't want to hear nobody who's non-foundational Black American talking about no damn stereotypes in a comedy movie when you have immigrant-run websites like BOSIP, which is African immigrant-run, Media Takeout, African immigrant-run, The Shade Room, that's African immigrant-run. African immigrants run these popular websites that gets millions of views, and all they do every day on these African-run websites here in America show negative images of foundational Black Americans on a daily damn basis. And it ain't even in the realm of comedy. Y'all sit up here on these damn websites and show us fucked up every single damn day. I won't even get into the Caribbeans, like World Star, that's Caribbean run. Academics, that's a Caribbean Sambo. A lot of these fools sit up here and show us in the most negative light imaginable. Every single day. And then they want to complain about Coming to America? Shut the fuck up. You are not at liberty to say anything. As much as y'all show negative images of us, when people talk about, well, and we have negative views because of what is in the media. Well, the media is The Shade Room, Media Takeout, BOSIP. Y'all the ones who are running some of these so-called online media sites that are popular. Y'all get all this funding and all this seed money and all these advertising dollars. Y'all running these sites that show us in negative lights, and they don't do that to each other. And look, we got television shows that's produced and run by these immigrants. Hey, Mona Scott Young, who's a Caribbean immigrant who shows these negative ass images of black people on a regular basis. Y'all can't say anything to us. When I go to Africa, I show respect. I don't show people in a negative light. When I go to the Caribbean, I show people in a positive light. I talk positively about their history. I don't want to hear nothing from nobody as much as you show us in a negative light. I don't want to hear anything. A lot of folks feel like they're above getting clowned, and you are not. You feel like you're above getting clowned by us because you didn't sat up and told each other with these niggas are akata niggas. No, nigga. This is, first of all, this is our homeland. This is our homeland. Our lineage not only goes to Africa, but what makes us unique is that our lineage goes back here to this land thousands of years. That makes us different. I want us to understand that and get that in our brains. That's the thing that makes us different from all these other groups. Our lineage also goes here thousands of years. A lot of these folks got a bug in their ass about that. See, they want you to erase that part of your history. So I don't want to hear all that we all in these together, brother. We all in these together because that Pan-Africanism thing has been very one-sided. I've always said that. I'm going to keep saying that because it is. See, they don't want us to get over there. And miss, it ain't about the negative stereotypes in the media. That's another lie that's being told. I don't want y'all to hear that, to listen to that lie about we can't get dual citizenship in none of these African countries because of the negative images in the media. No, it ain't that. That ain't it. I think one of the real reasons is some of these countries don't want us to come over there in large numbers. This is my conjecture. A couple of reasons. One thing, they know we go over there, we going to get busy. We're going to get some of them Chinese up out of there. And they don't want to seem incompetent by having us come over there and really get things cracking like we would. And they know that. They know good and well we'll get things cracking over there. But then that'll make them look bad. See, they try to play this game where they come over here and just do so much better. I keep hearing this lie. We immigrant, we go there and do better than you. How? What are you doing that Foundational Black Americans haven't done? You doing some shit that we've been doing. So get off that. You're not doing anything that we have not done. The Foundational Black Americans, we've built out of black people globally. We built the most institutions and structures and businesses. We've done more than any people on the planet who's black. Independently of white mommy and white daddy. See, that's the thing about us. We don't need white mommy and white daddy. In fact, we try to avoid white mommy and white daddy. We don't want them in our mix. We do better when they are not in our damn mix. But yeah, we go over there, we'll get real busy, and that's going to make them look bad. They feel like that's going to make them look bad. They feel like if we get over there and we start thriving, that will make them look bad. That's really the long and short of it. I said, look, you give me land over there, just pick out an African country somewhere, give me land and a shovel and point to the damn diamonds. Where's the diamonds at? Where's these diamond mines that they say they won't let y'all in? Yeah, we will fix that. Give me some land and a shovel. We, as Foundational Black Americans, we are some of the most resourceful people ever. We make something out of nothing all the damn time. We are very resourceful. That's why white supremacists, they don't like leaving us alone. They always got to be in our mix. If they leave us alone, we start creating stuff and figuring things out. You understand? And if you let us over there, and the only thing that's holding us back from them diamonds is a couple of little old Chinese dudes out here with their little guns. Oh, cool. Okay, we got this. Holla at me tomorrow morning around 8. I'm going to have some diamonds for you, bruh. You holla at me tomorrow morning. Holla at me. How many diamonds you need? Because I'm going to have them by tomorrow, nigga. If this is what's stopping me, we got this, bro. Yeah, well, we got this. I got these dudes. And another thing, guys, some of these countries don't really want us over there on some dual citizenship. And I'm not even tripping on that, by the way, because look, this is our homeland here. We have a rich history, a rich culture here. We don't need to go anywhere, truth be told. We don't need to go anywhere, dude. This is our spot. We can do what we need to do here. But another reason why they wouldn't let us over, because they know we get over there, we're going to start looking into some of the books and some of the paperwork over there and start seeing who exactly sold niggas to who. You see? If we get over there in some of these countries, we're going to start doing some research. And if we pushing up on the white supremacists here about some reparations, the mightiest military force in the world, and we're pushing up on them about our reparations, if we go somewhere else and we start seeing some of this paperwork tracing back to some of these little rich African families, hey, wait, where you get this money from? Where did the Mbutu family get this money from? We start looking at the paper trail and we start seeing who sold who, and we start looking at insurance records, and this is tracing back to this dude's family. Somebody else seemed like they owe us a little piece of this paper. That's another thing cats don't want us to start doing. And that's another reason why I think a lot of folks from the diaspora be coming over here trying to undermine our reparations talk. Notice when we talk about reparations, yeah, they're gonna be mad at me again, but that's fine. I don't give a shit. That's another reason why a lot of cats come over here from the motherland and start undermining us when we talk about reparations, because if we start getting reparations here, you know what's next. Hey, who sold me? Who sold part of my family? Because part of some of us, not all, because there's some of us who are black, who's like full indigenous here. There's some people here who's classified as black who are full indigenous. Let's be real. But some of us, when we can trace our lineage, some of that lineage over there to the motherland, we're going to start saying, okay, we got that little reparations from the white supremacists, the money that they owe. Now, I need to see what coon and what coon family sat up here working out deals with the British to sell our ass over here in the first damn place. See, that's where a lot of that vitriol comes from. See, they don't want us asking those kind of questions. See, the same Negro who sat up there in Aredo, which is what Nigeria was called before, and some of these other countries, even in East Africa, you had Tipu Tip. That was a Negro, a black and Arab Negro who was selling folks. Because see, when I go to these countries, I start looking at paperwork. And when I was in Zanzibar, I'm looking at paperwork. I'm looking at some of the Negroes that was working with the Arabs, working with the British, working with the white supremacists to sell us. I'm looking at their families. I'm tracing money. Some of you're going to have some people like me over here looking at this damn paperwork. I'm not trying to have, you know, I'm not trying to sit in a dungeon and, you know, and wear a kufi and have an emotional experience. That's cool. But I'm like, okay, There's a Negro I see driving around in a Range Rover. Where did this Negro get this money from? Where did his family get this money from? I'm looking at that. I'm looking at the Negroes who's kind of papered up a little bit. Where did his family get that money? It's old money. How old is that money? A lot of these folks, these little rich African families over there, the little handful of them, it's a handful of them. We better ask where they got that damn money from. You better see where they got that money from. Brother Khalid Muhammad talked about that. He said he went over there and you had some of those Sambos bragging about the money they got from the slave trade and all the land they got for working with the British against us, enslaving us. Yeah, man, I've been over there to Zanzibar and all those places, and I'm looking at these Sambos that sat up here selling niggas. I'm looking at Tipu Tip, and I'm looking at all these dudes and all their paperwork, and I'm tracing them. Like, where's their family now? Where's the family right now? Yeah? When I see everybody is riding bikes and with dusty flip-flops, and there's one nigga out here with a Bentley driving around the village. Like, nigga, where'd you get this Bentley, bro? I do Bitcoin, nigga. I do Bitcoin. No, nigga, that ain't no damn Bitcoin. Where'd your family get this money, dude? I am a rapper. No, nigga. Where'd your family get this paper? Yeah, I've been to Zanzibar. I've been to the slave dungeons and the whole shebang. I've been all over Zanzibar. Yeah, you had that coon-ass Tipu Tip. It was a black Arab Sambo out here just selling black. He made a grip out there selling other black folks with his little coon ass. His mama was black and his dad was an Arab. And he sat up here working with the Belgians and the British selling black folks left and right. This dude made a grip. Yeah? I ain't forgetting about it. That's why they be wanting us to forget about slavery. No. You niggas need to forget about slavery. It is over. Slavery is a long time ago. No, it ain't that long ago, nigga. Let me see some of this paperwork, nigga. Well, nigga, you got a swimming pool in your crib and everybody else is living in shanty towns. How you get papered up, bro? And see, we start asking questions. Hold on. Is that your lady right there? Where'd she get that luxurious weave from? All these women running around here with $5 wigs and she has a real nice looking lace front. Where y'all getting this money? Yeah, I want to know what's popping. That's what they don't want us to do. That's why when we start talking about being foundational black Americans, this is another reason why people get so butthurt. This is why they get bent all out of shape, because now when we start identifying ourselves as our own ethnic group, as we are, then some questions are going to start arising now. Hey, you look like my ancestral memories are kicking in. I'm starting to see things and remember things. And nigga, you look like the nigga who sold my great, 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 great grandfather on my dad's side. Nigga, I'm seeing things in you. Yeah, start checking. You start looking in some of this paperwork. They don't want that. They don't want that. You dig? Because the same folks telling us what we don't deserve, some of them come from families that owe too. They owe us something too. But the thing is, the chicken will not come before the egg. We're going to get at the white supremacists first. That's the main priority. The main priority is getting at the white supremacists. They see how bold we are with the white supremacists. Everybody else is going to be light work. You understand? Because we can even go down to Mexico and holler at them about some things. We can go holler at them. We can go down to Argentina where they just wiped out a bunch of black folks. We can go to them and see which black folks ended up here. There's a lot of folks we can start hollering at once we get this shit popping up here. That's why they don't want us to get it. Oh, they don't want us to get it, because if we get it here, we're going to start getting it from a lot of folks. You dig? That's something to think about, guys. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. I want y'all to think about that. Anyway, guys, go to officialfba.com. Get your foundational Black American bandanas, guys. We got the foundational Black American bandanas on sale right now at officialfba.com. Get the Foundation of Black American flags to put on your wall, to put on your car. We got the mini flags to put in your car. Everybody needs to be rocking their FBA flag, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday time with your family this week. Y'all be safe out here. Love on your family. Be with your loved ones. Make sure your kids and your babies are happy. And first and foremost, also make sure the foundational Black Americans in your family, in your community are good. And we'll make sure all of our brethren around the world is good. But we got to take care of family first. Anyway, guys, that's been today's broadcast. The Cash App, y'all, a lot of folks are hitting the Cash App up. I appreciate you. The Cash App is KingFlex818, $KingFlex818. Shout out to everybody's giving holiday gifts on the Cash App. Much respect to y'all. And y'all have a great week and y'all be safe.